When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Rugby Rant fans? It's the Hammer, and I'm coming back at you with another interview to keep you guys new, informed and current on news and goings on around the league and touching base with important figures and individuals who are driving North American rugby. And I've got a special guest here today that we recently connected with, or I recently connected with, and I know a lot of fans have started to talk about the efforts of Paddy O'Gorman, who has joined me. And what I love about having Paddy join the show and people like him is we, you know, being in Chicago, being in the United States, both Scott and I being in the United States, we don't get as much connection with Rugby Canada as perhaps we'd like to. We use Le Rouge Rugby. Shout out to our buddy, Derek the Jet Brissette, and some of our other friends up there to help us along the way. But whenever we can, we like to have folks from Rugby Canada involved because I think, you know, and Paddy can talk about this at some point, maybe, you know, the fortunes of American rugby and Canadian rugby are intimately entwined. You know, it's like as either one of us raises our ships, the other ship also raises, so to speak. So it's great to have Paddy on the show. Paddy, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. Hope I can point your viewers in some direction of some things we've got going on in Vancouver and ideas we have for the future.
Well, listen, I'm sure that you're going to add a lot of value for those fans, especially those people, those fans in the Northwest of the United States and of course in BC. You know, it's one of those things when I see online and I follow, whether it's Reddit or Facebook or whatever, it comes out, you know, quite frequently, hey, there needs to be a team in BC. And I think that's unanimously supported amongst fans of North American rugby, but it's always one of those things of, okay, so the money's got to be there, the support's got to be there, in order to have that effort in the MLR. So that's what I brought you on the show to talk about. So the first thing, if you wouldn't mind, Paddy, just for those not familiar with you, can you just talk a little bit about your rugby background and experience for a moment?
Well, from a North American standpoint, I arrived in Vancouver in 1988. I'd played about five seasons in the south of France. I'd played extensively in New Zealand, but left in my early mid-20s. Went to France, had a season in England, then came to Vancouver and was here for a couple of days and decided this was one of the nicest places I've ever been to, and I'm staying. And so far, they haven't been able to kick me out. And then, so I've been playing for clubs here. I still play a little bit of old boys rugby. And I've coached extensively over the last 20 years, especially one of my sons was a reasonable footballer, playing in the MLR now for LA. So I coached a little bit with him. And, done quite a bit of coaching and generally supporting of the rugby community, always an All Black supporter, always Crusader supporter. But other than that, love the game.
Well, that's quite an extensive CV, just having played in you know, North America and South America, or sorry, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, having a wide range of experience. And we're glad to have you in North America. And certainly happy to hear that the Canadian Mounties haven't saddled up and come over and driven you out of the country. you know, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of the Vancouver Swans. It's an effort that you know, you've initiated, and I'm sure you have partners, and you're going to talk a little bit about your partnerships that are involved in this effort. Folks, stay with us. We're going to get a word from our sponsor. Of course, Rugby Now or Power Shop MLR is one of our major sponsors. We're going to be hearing from them, and then we're going to come back and get right into the interview with none other than Patty O'Gorman of Swans Rugby.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
I'd like to thank Scott, and I would like to thank Rugby Now, Power Shop MLR. Folks, if you haven't had a chance, go check it out. Both websites, Shop MLR as well as Rugby Now. Of course, Shop MLR, the city shirts are all available. Some beautiful work there. Over my shoulder, I've got the Hound shirt here. I've also got an Ola shirt. They're beautiful pieces. And then one of the efforts that, you know, with fall rugby coming up, with 15 season coming up, you got to get your orders in for custom kit for your club. And the cool thing about Rugby Now is that they have partnered with Adidas and have a custom apparel shop ready to go. So you can go right to their website, go to the teamwear, and then you can just fill in your information and they'll get back to you. There's about 14 really slick designs along with a whole plethora of options insofar as socks and shorts and bags and, you know, everything else under the sun that you can get for your team to be well outfitted for the fall. About 6 to 8 week delivery. So get on it now while you can and tell them the Hammer sent you. All right, so we're coming back with Patty O'Gorman, of course, at Swans Rugby. So let's get to it. He's the man of the hour, the person that you've come to hear, not me. So I want to talk first about just an opening salvo here, Patty. You know, when Swans came out, and when any MLR initiative comes out, there's always people that want to talk about the branding. And that's something that you guys have you know, kind of identified a little bit with the Swans, but I've also said that the branding is kind of secondary. There's some other issues that are taking shape and charge right now. So tell us about where you're at in the branding, where you're at with that Swans label, if you wouldn't mind.
The Swans is actually just a concept of mine. I just like the concept. There's nothing in North America along those lines. There's an AFL team in Australia that I like the branding on, just like the look of it. Swans are native species in North America. There are two species that are native and one imported. They're an elegant bird. They're aggressive. They're territorial. They're faithful. They've got a lot of things going. There's a lot about it I like. And you know what? If you can play around with the cartoon aspect when we have some youth teams and kid teams, it's going to be a pretty cool brand, and people are going to like and see the soft side of the Swans as well as the tough side that we'll need for the MLR team.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. A mate of mine who's been on the show before, Fred Richards, is a branding master. And one of the things that I learned from him is that there's a total value in that connection that you just talked about. Once people understand the significance of that connection, you know, the Swans being territorial, Swans being tough, Swans being protective, especially if they're young, that all makes a lot of sense. And suddenly things come together as soon as we understand more about that branding and that identity, which is wonderful to hear. So I want to get into it here. You guys have a landing page, right? And it's MLR2YVR.com. Can you just talk a little bit about that landing page and what people can find there if they're interested in, you know, it would be getting involved if they're in the BC area or just want to get more information about, you know, the activities that the Swans are involved in at the moment?
Well, the origin of the MLR2YVR is the MLR part's easy. YVR is the acronym for Vancouver Airport. So we just use that as a trendy little thing we came up with about 18 months ago. The landing page started out as pretty simple. We've now elaborated a bit more. It's more of a website now. We've just started some summer camps, and we have sign-ups for the summer camps in our on our webpage. There's a signing page you can go in if you want to show support for our organization, and you can get sign on to that, and we'll send you information as we develop, as the franchise grows, as our organization grows. We'll be putting out news to all our fans. There are over 550 signups already, so we've got a lot of interest from people. We are occasionally putting out information, but we've it's important for us, first of all, to get our stadium sorted out. Once we have a commitment on where we're going to play, and I think that's a vital thing for any MLR team, it has to be the right size stadium. It's got to be relatively affordable. It's got to be, location has to be accessible. There are a number of factors that we've identified an ideal situation. And once we have that lined up, then we're in a much better position to move forward as a franchise, as an organization. But the initial thing that we are doing is summer camps already for youth rugby, and we'll be continuing that. That's just the start of what we're going to grow into, a community-based situation where we're providing coaching, especially when we get an MLR team. We'll have 30 or 40 guys that will be going out into the community, helping schools, helping clubs, helping grow the game, and basically trying to rebuild rugby back in BC and in the Vancouver area in particular, back to the strength that it once had.
You know, a lot of important details and information, and folks, that landing page with that, where you can sign in and add your name to the list. I think that's critical if you want to get more information. And that's how Patty and I connected. So I think it's important to realize that, you know, Patty is very much in tune with, you know, that page and with connecting with people that are interested. So I'd encourage you, if you have any interest, you're in the BC area, you want to support, you want to bring your son or daughter into the fold, please reach out through that mechanism. I want to talk a little bit about the idea that, I mean, there's basically a two-pronged piece built into that website, MLR2YVR. And one of them is there's a clear intent to support an MLR team. The other piece is to grow the sport. And you've touched lightly on both of those pieces, and that, you know, you want to develop into an MLR team. You're also growing rugby with the youth camps, and we'll talk about each of those pieces. So let's first touch upon the MLR piece. It's obvious that there's intent to develop into an MLR team. You know, what's the time frame? What kind of, you know, I realize that's malleable, right? Because you got to, there's a bunch of boxes you got to check in order to, you know, get an MLR team in place. But, you know, what is your time frame? What kind of expectations does your group have for, you know, getting an MLR team in place?
Well, just going back a little bit to when this idea occurred to me, I went to Boston 2 years ago when my son was playing for the Free Jacks. Visited Boston for a week, watched a game there. Was very impressed with the setup they have. I thought it was very well done at the time, and they've only continued to grow and get better. Then I went up to Toronto, had a look at their situation up there. Unfortunately, they've not been able to carry on. So this was basically 2 years ago when this idea germinated. Since then, I've been talking to anyone and everyone as far as making this into a reality. I was hoping to get it up and running in 2024. Not a chance, but as I said, I've got a very strong collection of interested parties around me, very, very motivated, very idealistic, very motivated people. And we have a very professional organization in place that once we get a franchise, it will be extremely well run, very professional. We're not going to be doing things by half and half measures at all. We're going to be doing it right. And one of the big things that's very important to me is player welfare. That's going to be absolutely top of the line, make sure players are looked after. And I think we'll end up being a very successful team. There's a lot of very good players in Canada, and a lot of them basically don't want to or don't have the ability to move down to the States, but they can stay up here and work or go to school. And so, yeah, I think there's a very promising future for a franchise in Vancouver.
You know, it's interesting. You've kind of leaned into it a little bit. I want to explore this option. What kind of there are, like I said, there are a lot of boxes to tick in the process of getting an MLR franchise from, you know, as you said, germination to actually boots on the ground to playing in a season. So I have to ask you this, what kind of infrastructure, both organizationally and physically, can you share with fans that's been developed or is in the developmental process?
I guess substantially the most important thing for me and the people that I'm working with is getting the stadium sorted out. Once we have a stadium sorted out that fits the requirements that we have, then we can address the investors. We can tell a very good story at that point in time. Until we have a stadium commitment on a stadium, there's very little I can say, other than to say that we structurally have some very, very good people ready and willing to go once we have a go-ahead, a green light on a stadium. And I think that's the critical part.
No worries. Understood. So let me ask this on the stadium piece, because the stadium is one of the things that many fans want to talk about because, you know, it's part of the fan experience when they attend an MLR game or international for that matter. But I don't know that fans fully understand how that stadium plays a larger role in player welfare and many other touch points that impact the day-to-day operations of an MLR team. So kind of what sort of, I guess, pie in the sky approach, let me just ask a little off the cuff here on this question, pie in the sky approach, what sort of things are you guys looking for? Is your group looking for in a stadium in order to really say, yep, that we've got what we want. Let's move forward onto the next kind of phase, the next piece of the puzzle.
When you look at my trip to New England to Boston, the New England, the Free Jacks play out of a town called Quincy, which is just on the edge of, it's about a 20-minute drive from downtown Boston. And we've got a very similar situation that we're exploring in a neighboring city to Vancouver, very, very similar. About a 5,000-seat stadium, grass field at the moment, great location, and I think it fits pretty much ticks all of the boxes we were looking for. We looked at BC Place Stadium where they had the Vancouver Sevens, but it's a 50,000-seat stadium, and if you have even a crowd of 7,000 to 10,000 in there, it would look very empty. And it's, it's perfect for the Sevens. They had crowds of 30 to 40,000 turned up for the Sevens per day. They've had those numbers. So we know there are rugby fans in Vancouver and in BC. And we're not just appealing to fans here. We want people from Seattle to come up. We want people all around the world to come and watch some games. The people that sign up to our website, for information, I would say 15% of them are international, probably 70% are Canadian, and probably another 15% would be, sorry, other parts. When I say international, I mean outside of North America. So the 15% perhaps in the US, and then 70% Canadian would be about the breakdown of the people who are signed on. So we've got a good spread of information going worldwide. I have a lot of connections worldwide, and a lot of people have shown interest, and I think when it comes to getting coaches, when it comes to getting some international players of a high caliber, we'll have some advantages over some other franchises, perhaps, just because of the connections that I have and some of the other people that I'm working with have as well.
100%. And I want to start to lean into the other prong of the Swans effort, which is, you know, the growing the game. And so before we leave this concept of, you know, a stadium, I think you're right. I think the Free Jacks do a really, really nice job of their stadium. While not, you know, doesn't have the boxes and maybe missing some of those pieces, it certainly is a place that the folks in Quincy congregate. Not just for rugby experiences, but other experiences that the Free Jacks have encouraged. So they do a wonderful job, and they draw great crowds. And I think they really have done a lot of things right there. So no doubt about that. Let's talk a little bit more about the other piece. One of the things that's interesting is you guys have really hit the ground running with these camps, with these youth camps, and the intent there is to really develop youth rugby, grow the game, grow the groundswell of grassroots support for the game. And so I'm kind of curious here. Most teams have started with a top-down model. In other words, you know, like here in Chicago, they started with the MLR team. And once that was in place for a season, they started to really get into the academies. They put forward a high school academy that competed over there in DC a couple of weeks ago with some other academies. You guys are going a little bit different. You're working on the MLR piece, but you've really hit the ground running with the youth camps and with, you know, again, this grassroots, effort to develop rugby. Was this kind of bottom-up approach intentional or just a byproduct of where you guys have been in the process and where, you know, what your experiences are in this two-year journey?
Truthfully, it was, it's just organically grown that way. As I said, I was hoping to have an MLR team by 2024. It looks like we're aiming for 2026. So we want to get into the community. We want to get things going. And what we're trying to do, in effect, is roll back time. So if you look at the history of rugby in Vancouver and British Columbia in general, and when I arrived here in 88 in the early 90s, arguably, the competition in BC and in Vancouver was the strongest anywhere in North America. And then in 1995, when rugby went professional, about the top 30 or 40 players in BC went overseas. And good on them. They went to Japan. They went to Europe. They went for the professional contracts. What that ended up doing was gutting the rugby community of your mentors, your top players, the people that the community looked up to, the future coaches, the future administrators, the future managers of all these clubs. And in that period in the last 20 years, probably six or seven clubs have actually either gone under or had to amalgamate in Vancouver or in British Columbia. So there's been a gradual decline in the clubs. And what we want to do is re-support those clubs. So when we get an MLR team, we're going to have 30 or 40 players, professional players, who have got time on their hands, and they're going to be going out to the clubs. They're going to be going out to the schools. They're going to be the mentors. They're going to be the coaches. They're going to be the trainers. They're going to be the new administrators in 10 years' time. They're going to be the people that are going to help us grow the sport back in the schools. In the clubs, we want to support the clubs. We want to support the schools. We're going to be completely independent of any club, independent of any school. So we want the kid. You can send your kids to us from any school. We're not going to send them to another club or poach them or none of that. It's going to be we're there to support rugby and grow rugby, ideally at the youth level, because we've lost two or three generations in the last 30 years to the professional era. And we want to rebuild that. So in 20 years' time, these kids are going to be the guys on the boys and girls on the national teams. So eventually we want to have a professional women's team as part of the Swans organization. We want to have youth teams. We want to have all of this. But it's organic. We're growing. We're starting with these small camps. we're going to do this year round. It's going to be an evolving story, but it's going to be the regrowth of rugby in the Lower Mainland.
You know, it's interesting in that, and I think, you know, in one way or another, most of the MLR teams are doing those things. It's almost like you have to grow that game at the grassroots level in order to continue to grow not only your fan support, but also essentially your homegrown players. What I'm interested in real quick, and this is just based upon your response, a question that emerged for me. I'm an educator, and one of the things here in the States that is kind of a common theme, a common feel, is that in order to grow the game, we really need to get kids at a younger level, and we need to institutionalize rugby in the schools. I'm not familiar with the Canadian school system, so I have no understanding or knowledge of it. And I'm just curious, in your mind, well, obviously you have a club that's going to be supportive of youth rugby and grow youth rugby. Is there a need in Canada to institutionalize rugby at some level so that you know, you have you have players being introduced to the game, you know, in a wide kind of casting that wide net, if you will. I'm just kind of curious on that note.
I somewhat understand where you're going, but the certain things rugby is played here at the youth level, probably the highest level at some of the pretty elite schools here, and I think there's a much broader approach that could be had so that we get into every school, and some starting in some elementary schools, but particularly in some of the areas where, you know, the players don't have the same somewhat, or the families don't have the financial resources, if you will, to put kids into sports. And rugby is a very inexpensive sport when you consider up here we have hockey and football. And if you get into those sports, it's very expensive. The gear's expensive. You know, traveling's expensive. And also, if you do play at a higher level in rugby in Canada, your families quite often have quite a high burden. They have to finance a lot of the trips for nationals and for provincial competitions. So it's not cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than, say, hockey or football or even basketball, for that matter. Basically, you need a pair of boots, a mouth guard, and a pair of shorts, and away you go. So I started out playing when I was probably 5 or 6. Regan, my son, I was coaching him, or he started playing when he was 4 or 5. So, I mean, it makes a world of difference when, as a child, you know, if a coach tells you to do something 100 times, you'll do it. But when you get to be a 12 or 13-year-old or 14-year-old and the coach tells you to do something a couple of hundred times, yeah, kids around that age, they have a little more attitude and they're a little bit harder to get to. But, you know, those are the sort of people we have to target. And, you know, we need to broaden the areas we're drawing players from. And we need to go into the rural areas. We need to go into the suburbia and draw players from there. I think that's vital. Other countries have done it. I mean, you look at the players on the French team now, they were, a lot of them are from poorer neighborhoods, and they basically went into those poorer neighborhoods. The French Rugby Union did about 20, 30 years ago. And they dragged those kids along and got them playing and got them into rugby. And a lot of them are now evolved into amazing players. And that's what we want to do. We've got athletes in Canada. We just aren't drawing enough of them into rugby. And that's what we've got to do.
And I think you're spot on there, touching upon the you know, at a grassroots level, it's a relatively inexpensive sport, especially with you put it in the context of the most popular sport in Canada, you know, because I know here in the States, hockey is incredibly expensive in a lot of different ways. So, you know, reaching out into those communities that are disadvantaged can actually be a huge advantage for rugby and play into our strong suit as a sport in terms of expense. I'm curious, just as an offshoot of that discussion of youth rugby and developing and growing rugby, is there a curriculum that exists for, because I know in the States, we USA Rugby is pushing what's called Imagine Rugby, and it really is a, you know, they have a whole curriculum developed that anybody who wants to implement it can institute it. Is there something like that in Canada that exists that you guys can lean into in order to, you know, get a cast a wider net and a larger potential audience for growth?
There probably is. We haven't really, we're aware of certain programs. We just haven't got to the stage where we've developed a curriculum. But when we get substantial growth and we need consistency in practices, we will be reaching out. We'll be getting those materials, those educational materials from the powers that be. And World Rugby has a lot of resources for things like that. There are other clubs within MLR who I've been talking to their managers, their CEOs, their general managers, and they're very, very keen to share resources. So, you know, when we come into the MLR, we're going to be as friendly off the field as we can be, as we're going to be as competitive as we will be on the field. We're going to be sharing resources with other MLR teams. We want to grow the sport in North America. It's going to be, as you say, the rising tide lifts all boats. So we definitely want to see success in the US. We want Canada to get success back. And both countries have the athletes to do it. We've got the resources to do it. We just need to,
how do you put get the it? Intent, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've just got to be smart about it.
Yeah, 100%. I want to kind of lean into a bit more about what you guys are doing right now to grow rugby, to help develop the next generation of players from, you know, for Rugby Canada, for, you know, from British Columbia, from Vancouver. So you mentioned the camps earlier. So we're talking about, you know, ages 14 to 17. I think right now there's four three-day camps that are established running in, they've already started in July. They're going into August. $150 Canadian per athlete to get some, to get this experience. I got to ask you, as I looked at what you guys have prepared on, again, the website is MLR to YVR. Are these high performance oriented camps?
Definitely. We have a very strong strength and conditioning coach, extremely good. He owns his own gym, but for the interests of rugby, because he was affiliated with another club in the past, we didn't want to run it at his gym. So we're doing it at a completely independent gymnasium. We do basically a two-hour strength and conditioning portion of this program in the morning, basically from 11 to 1, have an hour's break, and then we'll go out into the outside playing fields and work on skill work, strategy, a little bit more conditioning, but that's more about skills at that stage. The conditioning is going to be done in the earlier portion. And then that's going to be basically the format for the summer camps. Then we'll be doing camps going into the fall for after school things. Initially, it'll be just at one gymnasium, but we've got another potentially two that we could work with who are all part of the same organization. And they've been extremely accommodating, wonderfully, you know, very, very pro sport, pro youth people we're working with. And they've enabled us to use their facilities, and it's worked out extremely well so far. And we're very, very pleased to have them as a kind of a partner. And we're going to, you know, use what we've got and just grow it from here.
Absolutely. So what else can you tell us about, you know, those camps? You know, where are you drawing your coaches, your skills coaches from? You know, what's the background of some of these individuals so that, you know, anybody interested in pulling their kids into this effort can just, you know, get a bit more information. Can you share any of that with fans who are up in the BC area, up in the, you know, Vancouver?
The strength and conditioning coach we're using was the, is a guy, gentleman by the name of Rudy Brits. He's a South African, originally played, I think, 12 or 13 seasons in Europe. I think a dozen or so, half dozen in France and a few in Britain. So very experienced as a player, excellent strength and conditioning coach. He was the head coach of the Bayside Rugby Club. He's going to be the main man behind all of our programs going forward. Yeah, really nice guy. Very, very well organized, very strict, knows his stuff, but he's got a great manner and a great delivery to him. We've got a couple of assistant coaches, one from the Trinity Western University rugby program. He's helping out as an assistant coach to Rudy. And then in week number three, we'll be having Giuseppe Detoit from the MLR team in Miami, who's also a Canadian international. He's going to be helping out in the three sessions in week three. And then this other guy called Regan O'Gorman is going to be helping out in the fourth week in those three sessions. So we're going to be having international players assisting us. And we'll be, as I say, when we get the MLR team in Vancouver, there'll be a 30 or 40 guys that will be able to help us grow this organization, help us grow youth rugby, and provide us with these coaches who will be amazing to go out in the community and join with the kids.
Well, I love what you're doing already, and I love the fact that that vision for having that the professional players support and help grow the sport at the youngest of levels. You already have that piece in place, you know, with both Regan and Giuseppe, and obviously with Coach Brits. It's awesome to see that those things are already in place, and you're, you know, developing that grassroots level at this point. So, you know, let's just to kind of recapture what we talked about earlier. Where are we at in the stadium process? We're still looking. It sounds like you have some place in mind, and just kind of, update folks and where, you know, the process is in the MLR. And I think we'll, you know, we'll satiate fans' appetite for what's happening with the Vancouver Swans.
Yeah, we have a meeting set up with me and two of my compatriots to go and visit with the Parks and Recreation people that are involved with the stadium we're looking at. Okay. And we've got a meeting on July 31st where we'll be putting a presentation to them outlining what our desires are, what our goals are, what our partnership expression is, if you will, is with the stadium involved. And so we should have the administration, the Parks and Recreation people would then be taking it to council. So I would like to think within a month or two would have a confirmation of the stadium once we have that in place. So it should be imminent. And we've already met. I've met with the mayor of this other municipality. We've met three times. We've met with met with the people in the stadium. They were very welcoming, extremely enthusiastic about the potential for us. I just had a conversation earlier today with the sports and tourism person in that municipality, and she was incredibly excited, over the moon about having a professional rugby team in the municipality. And, essentially the business that can bring to the community.
Sure. 100%. And again, I think we only need to look at the Free Jacks to see what kind of engine rugby can be in the local community and driver behind not only, you know, the economic engine, but also the cultural engine for a community. It's great to see. And we love what you're doing up there. We love the effort. We love the vision. And most certainly, we want to hear more about it as things progress. But before we adjourn, Patty, I want to give you an opportunity to hit upon any touch points that maybe I've missed or you just like to talk about to let fans know what's going on up there in Vancouver, BC.
I guess I did have a few notes. Really, the important thing is we all know that some of the up and downs of the MLR in the last few years have been uncomfortable. Mm. We are very focused on getting it right from the start. So that's why we're not even looking to engage people unless we have the right stadium. Once we have the right stadium, we'll talk to investors. We're already talking to investors. We've got a lot of people who have shown interest. We've got some very, very well-selected people to come on an advisory board. We're talking international rugby players. We're talking people running major sports organizations that are willing to come on as far as an advisory board for us. We want to be accountable. We want to be fiscally smart. We're going to run a very well-structured organization. It's not going to be a fly-by-night organization. It's going to be solid. It's going to be here for 20 years. 90% of what we're going to be doing is actually community-based. Maybe 10% is going to be the MLR. It'll be a crucial 10%. But what we really want is to grow the game. That's the key.
That's awesome to hear, because as any fan of the Rugby Rant knows, we aim to grow the game one fan at a time, and it sounds like you guys aim to grow the game one player at a time, and that's lovely to hear. So Patty, first of all, before we exit here, I want to thank you so very much with taking some of your time during the day to share your experiences, where you guys are in the process, what that roadmap looks like for the Vancouver Swans, and what, you know, the general intentions of your group, your organization is. And please, you know, don't hesitate as you guys progress in this process to let us know so we can keep fans informed. Cause I know that there, as I said at the top of the interview, there are a lot of fans of this league here, even in the States, not just in Canada, but in the States, that really believe and know in their heart that Vancouver can be a destination, can be a wonderful place for an MLR franchise. And it's kind of funny, you mentioned in part of the interview, when you arrived in British Columbia in 88, 89, I mean, I remember, you know, I was, you know, just coming into rugby in the early 90s. And I remember Canada was a physical team, and they were a team to be reckoned with in the 87 and 95 World Cups for sure. And 91 World Cup. So I know that Rugby Canada has that potential and can certainly Vancouver can be the driver behind that. So it's lovely to see what you guys are doing up there. So Patty, thank you so very much for joining the show. I sincerely appreciate it. Thanks from the bottom of my heart from sharing your time.
Appreciate it. Loved everything you're doing. And you bring on the one fan at a time, we'll bring on the one player at a time, and it'll all be good.
100% with you. Again, thank you very much. And folks, thanks again for sticking with us. Thanks again for supporting us. Don't forget to support those who support us, Rugby Now, Power Shop MLR. Again, jump on the custom jerseys if you're looking for jerseys for your club. Again, the Adidas, if they're good enough to fit the All Blacks, they're good enough to fit your club for sure. And again, hit those city kits because they are ready to ship. And don't forget that shipping is quick, at least in the United States. I know Canada is a different animal altogether because of, the border. But nevertheless, again, we appreciate it. We appreciate Patty for joining us. He's going to keep us up to date on what's going on with the Swans out there in BC. And once again, thank you very much, folks. And we will see you at the next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.